Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so this is understanding Genesis 3:3. Please do your best to get the earlier parts if you have not listened to it. So generally, in the book of Genesis, we are looking at the book of Genesis clearly and more closely than the first time we checked it. In the book of Genesis, we actually saw the beginning of things, the origin of things, how things started, when things started. And for instance, we have seen the sin of Satan. We have seen that it can actually be traced to Genesis, not just some celestial sin, something that happened somewhere, somehow, that we are not aware. No. Sin is traced to Genesis. We could see that clearly there. Amen. So also, it's not only sin that is in Genesis. We also have love and forgiveness in Genesis. If you can read that same book, look at that same book and saw the intention of God as touching love and forgiveness. Matthew chapter 19 verse 8. Matthew chapter 19 verse 8. So we can see love and how to maintain healthy relationships both in marriage and outside marriage in the book of Genesis. Matthew 19 verse 8. And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. So beginning there was referring to the book of Genesis. From the beginning it was not so, that Moses suffered you, allowed you to put away your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. That means beginning, of course, let me say it again, it refers to the book of Genesis. That means that precept of putting away came later in Exodus, but from the beginning it was not so. It was not so. So men discard the beginning and they went after the addition. Don't forget, we have said as touching the law that the law was added. That was clear from Galatians chapter 3. The law was not the initial intention of God. The law was added. It was added. The law came in handy to the ministry of Moses because of their rebellion, because of the hardness of their hearts. Amen. So the law was added. It was brought into where it was not before. So the law was not the intention. The intention of God was clear. Love is the intention of God. Love is how we are to relate with mankind. So he said, Moses suffered you to put away your wife because of the hardness of your heart. So that was an addition. Check Mark chapter 10 verse 2. Mark 10 verse 2. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? See the account of Mark verse 3. And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. Then therefore Jesus was now telling them why Moses told them what he told them. Verse 5, and Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. A very good question there is that, how did God join them together? That's a very good question there. Well, it may be somehow, but God actually joined them together by their decision. It was Adam's decision to have Eve. It was Adam that said, this is the bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, it shall be called a woman. So that means God actually treasures when we honor our words, okay? You don't have to just back down on words, leave words. Christians are people that stick with their commitments. You are not people that, every month you are changing girlfriend or stuff like that. That is not a Christian. I mean, that's not the character of a Christian. So we see love, unity, and reconciliation from that book. Let me say it again. Somebody see it doesn't. How did God join them together? It's by their own decision to stay together. So if you decide, that is a real marriage before God. A marriage before God is not the ceremony. It's not the going up and down. It's not even the church tradition. The real thing is your decision to stick with one another. We are believers. We honor our words. We treasure our words. If we say you want to love a lady forever, you will stick with that. That is who we are. We stick with our words. So don't forget, we see love, unity, and reconciliation from the book of Genesis. But notice, this is saying don't put away. This is rather saying don't put away. Let me say it again. This scripture, that is Mark chapter 10, is saying you don't have to put away. Funny enough, if you actually check the law of Moses, you see that there is actually, I didn't think there's any law for a woman to put away her husband. Everything just tries to subdue the wife, to just try to push, force down the wife onto subjection, something like that. And that is not fair. Amen. So I'm saying, like, the law of Moses is not actually equal. It does not actually push equality. And that is not Christianity. Let me say it again. The law of Moses is not Christianity. It's not ordained by God. It was added because of the hardness of the heart of the Jews, not the heart of your congregation. The heart of your church members must not be hard. You don't say it too because of the hardness of some people's heart today. I can pepper them with some extra things. No, no, no. Today, nowadays, we use great plainness of speech. Regardless of what somebody is saying or what is happening, we don't have a mandate of God to pepper them with the law of Moses. So, let me say it again. In this scripture, we have seen that it is the man that is learning God's word that is told not to initiate divorce. It could be the man, it could be the woman. The man, the one that is learning God's word, you are the one not to initiate divorce. So we are taught of God to walk in love. Eh? God's word is talking to the man that is submitted to God, not to a rebellious man. Let me say it again. Maybe if you have a couple, husband and wife, one goes to church or one listens to God's word, one does not listen to God's word. Actually, it is God was speaking to the one that listens to him, that goes to church. He is the one not to put away. See Matthew 19 again, verse 7. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? 8. And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. You don't have hardness of heart. Suffered you to put away your wife, but from the beginning, it was not so. So, meaning, let it not be you that will initiate such. Let it not be you. Let it not be you that will initiate such. So, Jesus is saying, there is no reason big enough to put away. In case you are doubting that, please get this message, the teaching ministry of Jesus, and that should be there is a part that people say there that what you are permitted to put away because of fornication. We're going to look at that and the teaching ministry of Jesus. That should be part 4, teaching ministry of Jesus. Try and get the message. So, well, notice, Paul later said that if she be pleased. Let me show you 1 Corinthians 7 verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. That means he said, don't put away. That is preaching love. Don't put away. 12, but to the rest speak I not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased. That means if the unbeliever is pleased to stay with you, let the believer not put him away. So let the believer not put her away. Let me read verse 12 again. But to the rest I speak, I not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, that means you have a wife that does not believe. We are taught of God. We are enjoined of God. We are motivated of God. We are taught of God that we should not put away. That means maybe perhaps most of you married when you are unbelievers. Later, maybe the woman now became a believer. Don't now say because the man I married does not believe the gospel, because of that you say you want to put away. No, no, no. Your faith in Christ is not a reason for divorce. It's not a reason. So your faith in Christ is a reason to love a man to the intent that he too comes to repentance. Because see verse 13, and the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her. Can you see? If the man is pleased to live with you, say, let her not leave him. Are you with me? So that means if he is not pleased to live with you, he is the one that should actually carry his bag and go. You cannot initiate such. God has called you to peace. Amen. That means, of course, I'm not trying to teach, and some people have thought divorce as the unpardonable sin, and divorce is a sin. No, it's not like that. It's just contrary to walking in love. Simple. We are simply taught of God to walk in love. There's no internal consequence attached to this. So that means it is you that you are learning God's word that is not to initiate a divorce. It's true that we are learning God's word that is not to initiate a divorce. We are taught of God to value one another more than our own right and pleasure. We are taught of God to love more than our own right and pleasure. Also, so that your partner can become better. That is also one more reason. You are not just trying to stay with him because of his money, because who will marry me again? Those are not the reasons. You should know why you are remaining in that home of an unbeliever. In quotes, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else, while your children are clean, but now they are holy. Holy there does not mean that they are in Christ or they are now born again. No, holy there means they are set apart for salvation by the message of the believer in the house. When he sent the husband, he is sanctified by the wife. He's not saying the husband will make heaven because of the wife or us or anything like that. No, rather he's saying that the husband is set apart for salvation because he lives with a believer. Are you with me? That means once you leave him, you have left him to his own peril. That means he is less likely to become born again. But as long as you are in the house, you are saved and you are praying for him, you are interceding, you are sharing for him by your good conversation and by the word of God as your primary tool, gradually you trust God for his salvation. So that's what it means, that he is holy. It doesn't mean they are sanctified in Christ or they are holy in Christ. Amen. So that is not being Christ holiness. See verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart, can you say that it's not the believer that should depart? Okay, it's the unbelieving that is to depart. If the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. So it's the unbelieving that should initiate departing. The believer must always seek for peace. The believer must always seek for peace. See verse 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? That's what it means there, that they were sanctified, that the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife, and vice versa. So let me say it again. The priority of the believing spouse following peace and remaining is for the salvation of the unbelieving spouse and the children. Not for carnal purposes like wealth, beauty, status. Don't say, how can I leave him? He's the president of Nigeria. That's not the point. So, and of course, also, when physical abuse or threats to life exist, you cannot help a man when you are dead. If somebody is threatening your life, and he says, I think I learned that from a post of Pastor Danka and Abedamina on Facebook, one of the days. So when physical abuse and threat to life exist, you cannot help the unbelieving man when you are dead. So of course that is the time that you now seek for counsel and take appropriate measures. So we can see all that from the book of Genesis. It's not only sin that is there, love is there too. Love is there too. But see that rebook to Cain, 1 John 3 verse 11. But this is a message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That was the correction of God to Cain. Because if you check the context of 1 John 3, 11, that was talking to Cain. That was using Cain as an inference. This is the message we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. That means the correction of God to Cain was for him to walk in love. Was not God trying to bring disaster his way. Was for him to simply walk in love. Like I love to say about Cain, God never rejected Cain. God simply showed Cain the way of justification. God simply revealed to Cain that Abel's way, which is faith, is the way of justification. God never said, Cain, I don't want you. Cain was never rejected of God. It was his action after that clarification that now resulted in rejection. That's why if you see that judgment to Cain, the judgment was not given when the initial sacrifice was rejected. So what I'm saying is that when Abel, a sincere man, as you said that Abel's offering was accepted, John was not yet accepted, what should you do? Simply copy and paste. Copy a best offering and you too, you'll be justified. That is what Cain should simply have done. 2 John chapter 1 verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which you have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. Verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. That's the point. So the commandment is from the beginning. The commandment of love is from the beginning. We can see this clearly from the book of Genesis. Hallelujah. Praise God. John chapter 8 verse 44. John chapter 8 verse 44. You have your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So like I love to say, that murder was actually fulfilled in Cain. It's not because Satan whispered to Cain, Bible calls Satan murderer here. It was not, Satan did not actually kill anybody there. But that murder was fulfilled in Cain. Not because the devil whispered to Cain that please go and kill Abel, no. But unbelief united both of them together. That was the point. That's why the sin of Satan is the same as the sin of Adam. I mean, unbelief united Cain and Satan together, because they both hated and spoke against the truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, give me a while we continue. Amen.
Love one another. You can learn that from Genesis. Because 1 John 3 was in context of Cain and Abel, right? You remember? In the context of Cain and Abel. Do you remember any? Yeah, go back to 1 John 3, verse. What is in verse 9? Not as Cain, right? Which was of the what? Evil one. And was slew his brother. So that means when God was reproving Cain, when he was correcting, when Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's rejected, what was God correcting Cain of? Hatred. Love your brother. But because he didn't listen to that, what happened? He proceeded further on the journey of unbelief in rebellion. So the correction of God was to bring love to Cain. To bring love. So see 2 John now, chapter 1, verse 5. I see love there. 2 John 1, verse 5. Let's read 5 and 6 together. Slowly, one to go. Thank you. Yes. And now, come on, when I say read, your mouth should be moving. It will do something to you. Come on, help me. 5 and 6, one to go, yes? Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I write a new command unto you, but that which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandment, and this is commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, love is a commandment from the beginning. You can see now that Moses did not invent love. And I told you that the Ten Commandments is what? Love for and faith in God and love for the brethren. Thank you. Love for saints. So Moses did not invent that. It was from the beginning. Love from what? From the beginning. Just that said that all the commandments can be summarized in what? In love. That once you love your neighbor, you have what? Fulfilled the commandments. Amen. Not talking about the law of sin and death too, okay? Remember? I was talking about what? The Ten Commandments. Thank you. John 8, verse 44. John 8, 44. The purpose of teaching is comprehension. You can need to be slower than this for you to comprehend. It's only your own time that will suffer. Amen. Let's stop running ahead of people. Sit down, teach. Line up online. Great. You want to do Holy Ghost meeting? First, spend time. Teach. Teach. Now, when somebody starts saying, yay, Egbamio, no, this one is not listening during the teaching. That's the point. Thank you. John 8, 44. Let's read together. Yes, sir. You are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Wow. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So, that murder was actually fulfilled in Cain. When he was saying the devil was a murderer from the beginning, it was not because he saw the devil kill anybody. Who killed? It was Cain. It was called the devil. Why? Because unbelief united both of them together. Let's write down anyone you can remember. Unbelief united Cain and the devil. Murder was fulfilled in Cain. It's not that the devil whispered to Cain, go and kill him. No. A man with hatred for the truth called Cain murdered, whereas a man also with hatred for the truth called devil lied to Eve. That is why you will see two sins that the devil is accused, that he did in verse 44. He said, first, murder, right? Then lie. When he speaketh a lie. So the one that we saw the devil did himself was what? Lying, right? Are you with me? This is Genesis chapter what? Chapter 3. As the Lord said that you shall not eat of any tree or fruit of the garden. Say, ah, now I say, blah, blah, say, ah, don't worry, God, you shall not surely die. That was a lie. Are you with me? So it was now unbelief that united what? Cain and Satan. Not that Satan is living in Cain. No. So they both hated and they spoke against the truth. That is what we saw in that same 1 John 3 verse 8. Go back there. I know you have read it. Go back there. So I'm just, before we proceed to, I've not get to where we're actually going, this civil studio. It's just some shaking of the ceiling of everything. See 1 John 3 verse 8 now. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from when? The beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, the sin of the devil from the beginning was hatred for the truth, then he lied to Eve. That is saying, hatred for the truth, bringing what? Lying. The conception was hatred, the action was lying. Are you with me? The conception was hatred. No, hatred is hatred. Hatred is silence. You cannot see hatred. Are you with me? Hatred is what is of the heart, right? It's quiet. It's silent. You cannot see hatred. But lie is what? It's an action. So most of those action is because of hatred for the truth. When he's saying, he that see the next verse, is it verse 10? He that is born of God cannot sin. Which verse is that? Is it verse 9? Huh? Okay, 9, Abby. Okay, let's read together. 9, 1, 2, go, guys. Born of God cannot sin, for his seed remains where? Where is it? In him, right? The seed of God is where? In him. Read, yes. He cannot sin because he is born of God. So he cannot sin there means he does not what? He does not hate the truth. He does not hate the truth. Sin there is not talking about anything else apart from what propels unbelief, what propels lie, what propels murder. Because later you not discuss Cain again. So sin there, everybody knows that. Nobody does exam just escaping. Explaining 1 John, yeah? They have told you. Everybody will explain from chapter 1, chapter 5. It's always an evergreen question. So, an expo for you. You cannot twist it anyhow, but you can study it. Exactly, brethren. You escape it in membership. You meet it in workers. No, no point. If you are escaping everything, by then they bring it to me, and I see everything. I first look for, where is my 1 John? Not there, I will call for. What do they call it? Addendum exam. Something like that. Thank you. Okay. Also, how many lessons have we seen today now? Been one or two? One? You see one? I'm talking about love and what? Forgiveness, right? From Genesis. So secondly on this, it is already ordained from the beginning that there should be no preference in salvation. It was already ordained also from the beginning that there will be no preference in salvation. Of course, that is talking now about the Jew and Gentile dichotomy. It was already ordained from the beginning that salvation will have no preference. All those Calvinism, agnostics, universalism, if all they have read is the book of Genesis, you know that they are wrong. And there is no preference in salvation. See Acts chapter 15. Verse 17. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, see the Lord who doeth all these things. Let's read verse 18 together, guys. Yes, sirs. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is this, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Go to Ephesians 3, verse 8. So that fact that salvation is for all men is already is there. It was there. It was just lack of focus. They refused to pay attention. You know the way James said in that Acts 15:19, he said, no, unto God. It's not known to God. You should know it too. Are you with me? You know James, in his attempt to justify the fact that they have not been preaching to the Gentiles for the past like 15 years since Pentecost. Say, well, no to God and all his work. Is the Bible hidden from you? You should know. Go and read. You should know. Emoji. Ephesians 3 verse 8. Let me read verse 8. You read verse 9. Unto me, whom am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So it's from Genesis. It's from Genesis. At least if you all knew that we all came from one man, then where will there be preference in salvation? Adam is neither a Jew nor a Greek. It's just Adam. Noah is neither Jew nor Greek. It's just Noah. Abraham is neither Jew nor Greek. In fact, he received the seal, he received the covenant when he was yet uncircumcised, according to Romans 4. So we saw that the intention of God was for all. The intention of God was for all. We saw that the intention of God was for us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Mind me, you do much reading. I must not do too much explanation than reading. It's much reading. Second Thessalonians 2 verse 13. Okay, let's read. Thank you. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, because of the Lord. Because God at what? From the beginning, chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the what? Of the truth. Sanctification of the Spirit and what? The belief of the truth. So how does God choose a man from the beginning? Sanctification of the Spirit and what? Belief of the truth. That means believe the truth and you should receive the Spirit. Of course, when it's available. See verse 14. Verse 14, want to go? Whereunto he what? He called you by our gospel. Hallelujah. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say the Son is his choice from the beginning. Say Jesus was not an afterthought of God. He was God's choice from the beginning. It was God's choice. When I say, but was he in Genesis? Of course. What do you see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2? Of course, not as a person, as a what? Message. Remember? But that's why we are studying our Jesus, as a message. See that 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Be fast. Come on, I'm already midway. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. Let me say it again. The last 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, 13 and 14, when he's saying God has chosen you from the beginning. And people, that's the one scripture that this is the Calvinists that they use that say, unless if you are not chosen, you cannot be what? Saved. That means, okay, so before I preach to you now, I must find out, are you chosen? How do I know if he's chosen? David believes, that means he's chosen. What does that mean? There is no special selection. The selection is in who? In Christ. Okay? What is God's selection? In Christ. So if you believe and you are in Christ, you are saved. So is there a predestination? Yes, but not of people, of his son. Predestination was of his son, not of individuals. He's not saying, no, Brake, you will be until the year 2030. That's when you will believe the gospel. Start no year 2055. You believe the gospel. You're about. I'm not calling it Titor. Amen. So there's no predestination for individuals. Predestination means I predestined the son. Remember the one I use on Facebook, and somebody I don't know if he reads that, is trying to tell me that I'm using. Sister, why don't you stick with the scripture? I put Avengers there and I put the Doctor Strange there. I said, if you don't have some protection and foreknowledge, just listen to this man. Well, if you can stick with the scripture. Amen. I just don't know what to say. I just did that, Baba. Calm down now. Calm down. Amen. Of course, but let me just, you are spiritual, let me just give that analogy for you. Remember Doctor Strange, right? We have foreknowledge and predestination, right? Foreknowledge is, I saw these 40 million chances. This is the only one that can happen, this is the only one that can work. So he foreknew the future. While I come, this thing will not work. Therefore, what is predestination now? What he did, right? He gave, he said, take the stone, spear in. You understand? Okay, thank you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5. So, God's predestination is his son. That's what I'm saying. Angel Thor. Sorry, I know you don't like all those people. The Angel Thanos. You finish your man, right? Did him twice. it's called Endgame. Amen. There's no part two after the end of the end. Thank you. Sorry. Forget that. Please remove that from the sermon if you can. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but who? Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your servant for who? Jesus' sake. Verse 6. I want to go, guys. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined where? In our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So when he was saying, let there be light, in Genesis 1 verse 2, 3, he is not talking about sun and moon. It's prophetic of what? Salvation in Christ. Say the God that commanded that light to shine out of darkness. That would mean that darkness is talking about the heart of man. He has now shined in our hearts. Glory to God. To tell you that the Bible opened with salvation. The Bible did not open with prosperity. It did not open with anything that we are flocking around today. The Bible opened up with salvation. We can conclude that salvation is a theme of the Bible. Amen. You know, you are seeing six books, thousands of pages, and it opened with salvation. 1 John 1 verse 1. I think I can teach this from today till, I don't know. Salvation. I don't know if you know this. Salvation. Anyway. Salvation. That is information. Sorry, 1 John 1 verse 1. Come on. Are you tired? It's just part two. It's just two out of six. 1 John 1 verse 1. Are you there? Thank you. That which was from the beginning, which we have what? We have heard, right? Which we have seen with our eyes,
which our hands, which we have looked upon, and our hands have what? Handled of the word of life. Hallelujah. So it was from the beginning, but now John said that same message that was from the beginning. Now we have seen the message with our eyes. We have looked upon, in fact, our hands have handled it. Talking about the Son. Verse 2, for the life was what? Manifested, and we have seen it. Glory to God. Maybe seen him too. Correct. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Verse 3, want to go, guys? That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 John 2, verse 7. 1 John 2, verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. Say from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. That's a repetition again. 2 verse 13. 2 verse 13. Still talking about salvation. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. That's not talking about God. That's talking about Jesus. Him that was from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, Father, because you have known the Father. See verse 14. Verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Hear me and hear me clearly. Knowing the Father is not knowing God. Suppose you are hearing knowing the Father. That is no more God, though. That is God seen in the Son. There is no Father. Father is a redemptive terminology. That's what I'm saying. Are you with me? That is why when Jesus came and he was calling God Father, everybody was scared. Who is this? Even Elijah, they dare not call God Father. So I'm saying the reason why a man can call God Father is because he had a knowledge of redemption in the Son. So Father is not just one of the many names of God. Are you with me? Okay. The tiger husband of Pharaoh's chariot. Ha! Is a priest of God in Yoruba? The tiger husband of Pharaoh. No, you want to praise God, you don't know what to use again. Ah! Ekun of Pharaoh. Ekun. Oh God. Oh, what can baby Jabir? you know the meaning of that? That's when God is going to fight, that he wears what shorts. You know? Kembe, you know? All those that enter God to fight, you wear Kembe. 3/4. Thank you. No, if someone wants to find, where's 3/4? That means, this one is real. But that's your God. Ajanaku, Tim Nigbo, Kiji. Interpret, please. Elephant that shakes the forest. Bang, bang, bang. And we are thinking as we are calling all those names, God will say, yeah. Say what you want. Just tell it. Just say it. Up to half of my kingdom. Yeah. Plenty like that, actually. Plenty. Say, how will you be praising God like that?
No, you must go to the bring out the words. No, English cannot communicate those words. Go to your dialect. So all the praises that we usually use for Shongo, Onrumila, Obatala, Eshu, we now turn everything by the power of God. Compress it. God take. You know, when I wrote something on Facebook some days ago, I said some people will try say something, even devil will be laughing. Even devil will be laughing at those people. Even devil will say, hey. Because don't forget, even demons, they believe, they know God, they tremble. You are calling him, Well, you know, that one now, I can't interpret. Okay, say it again. After you get your shape, right? That means God is so light, you cannot carry it. Then it's so heavy, you cannot lift it. It's so light, you can't carry him. It's so heavy, you can't lift him up. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? When you say, let's call God Father. He is Father. Like my dad at home. No, forget it. Forget it. Who is Father? Just Father. Father. Do you see? Jesus never called God any other name. Father was repeated like 200 times in the gospel. And you are still saying, Gibini, Gibini. Father, Father, Father. For you to know that word, he was shooting it to a coming. It's a teaching. He was not just calling God Father because of his teaching. As I said in Luke, I'm still coming there, now Luke 7, that if you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, so Matthew 7:7, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Luke now said, give the Holy Ghost. So that means he's using Father so he can see his goodness. So he can see his love. It will take a while for my daughter to think I will now, she will offend me so much, I will turn her upside down, or I will say, I will now call Ajiki Jaga, come. I know we have not spoken for about 25 years. But right now, Bobo just offended me at home. No, I'm not at home. Just go to his room. This is the key. Go to his room. Him to cut and write. So if your earthly father cannot do that, something will now happen to you. I will now say, maybe God is using this thing to teach me a lesson. Then I will say, like Anna, God seal her womb. Imagine. Pastor Joe taught on that one. You know, right? Remember? God seal her womb. So that what? She can learn what? Now rebuke the devil. But don't worry, God is reserving the best for the last. Say, when he has tried me, I shall comfort like gold. Or you read 2 Peter 1 Peter chapter 5. After you have suffered for a while, he will establish you, comfort you, perfect you, settle you. All those things, say, oh God. Therefore, let us what? Endure the suffering for a while. And you're already 55. Are you enjoying for a while? Resist the devil! He will flee! Glory to God! Now, first Peter is talking about preaching the gospel, talking about persecutions of saints and the rest. It's not talking about you, you endure the devil. Are you with me? Are you with me, brethren? When he was saying, judgment also first Peter, before, judgment start at the house of God, that what shall be the end of those who does not believe the gospel. Judgment there is talking about persecution. If righteous scarcely be saved, talking about righteous are scarcely being saved from persecution. Then the people who are persecuting the righteous, do you think God will what? Will spare them? I'm talking about the wrath of what? Unbelief. Don't use that one to say that there's something I have to endure. Don't endure it. If you don't like it, reject it violently. Amen. There's something I have rejected violently that stupid keep with me. If you are ready, is it about Esau, right? Say when thou art of age, you will break his yoke off you the day you are ready. And Esau, without any blessing from his father, he became greater than Jacob. Risha. You are saying you have to endure. There's a generational curse. I can show you the chart. You see somewhere in my phone. Say, sir, I've been to someone who says, this country. Now my desire has expired. I don't even know what to do. I come back home now. I know where to come back. Say, so I think they have told me that there's a generational curse on my life. Now I believe it. Look at that. For head to where can I start from? Generational curse. Generation. The father has died since. Generational cause. Even if you have fiber mark from your generation, you can remove it by the power of your makeup. Have you? Contact the professional. Say, amen. Remove it. You can remove the. What is it? That's making you guys black. Maybe I'm not black. Eh? Say that. First John, Jerry. Yeah, wait. So, say, I call him Father. Right. I went to the order to tell you that Father itself, once you hear the Father, you are already seeing the Son, okay? When you are saying you have known the Father from the beginning, it's not just saying you have known God the Creator. He's talking about you have known the redemptive plan of God from the beginning. So, we have Father because there was a Son. Because it was even the Son that came to tell us that God is Father. Are you with me? Thank you. 1 John 2 verse 14. God does El Shaddai, Jehovah Nissi. Have you studied Jehovah Nissi before? Remember? No, is that not Genesis 17? Jehovah Nissi is who is Jehovah Nissi? Is an angel. Well, Jehovah Nissi. Sorry, Jehovah El Shaddai is Abraham. He's an angel. Nissi is an angel. Jehovah, there's one too in Gideon. Jehovah makes all those Shalom. Angel. Amen. Yes, like a disc game, right? It's not disco, disc game. Yeah. Benissa. What is going on? Interpret now. Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Raisi, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah. Call him Father! Call him Father! I told him that Willow, Anna. Call him Father! Very repetition. Amen. He never called God Jehovah anything. Pifrio is your Jehovah. I'm not saying you don't talk anything. If that is, you know, some people say, what is your magnetic name for God? Yeah. That means when the war is tough, what is that name that you call God at Ajebi, you know? You know Ajebi? So you must have a special revelation. And that's why a lot of people in the Bible, they like Elijah. If you are going for outreach, you sing about Jesus. You are going for war. God of Elijah, send down. Hey, Agbara. Baba. Call him Father. The God of Jesus corrected the God of Elijah. That God of Elijah was bringing up, Jesus corrected him in Luke 9. Hallelujah. That's the point.
As I said, this Bible must be what? Interpreted. Or else you will read the Bible and go to hell with the Bible. The Bible will take you to hell. I'm not joking. It must be interpreted. It's not literal. It's the Old Testament. And Elisha caused his children in the name of the Lord. And two bears came out from the woods and devoured 42 children. And you call that the power of God? Because now you can say, let the children come unto me. For such are the kingdom of God. What happened? You have Baal like my pastor there. Is he your? Is it? There are plenty. Some people are using face cap. Amen. Praise God. You are Baal and they are making and they are. Someone can play with you again. It's well. Praise God. Say the revelation of God is only consistent in his son. That's the point. That's where you can see it consistently. Don't miss that of Elijah with this. You will just be
elder-scatter. That's the point. So 1 John chapter 2 now. Verse 24. Let's read 14, then we'll read 24. 1 John 2, 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. 24. Guys, let's read together. Yes, sirs. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, also, go to back to Genesis 15. We have seen the gospel from Genesis. We have seen love from Genesis. We have seen love and unity from Genesis. We have seen also the fact that there is no separation between Jews and Gentiles. He made them of one blood, one flesh, just one Adam, same gospel. No different gospel to Cain and Abel, same gospel. See Genesis 15 verse 6. And Abraham, of course, he believed in the Lord, and it counted it for him for what? Righteousness. So we can see also righteousness from the book of Genesis. Obviously, with the book of Genesis alone, you can disprove a man that is saying righteousness is about keeping, wearing skirt and trouser, or whatever they call it, where's Joshua? He has gone. Remember, you check Joshua's cell of this. Remember that funny celestial woman? He said, Titus. He said, if you are eating Titus, that you are going to hell. Then you are taking vitamin C. I don't know that vitamin C is from ascorbic acid that they produce from under the ocean. And he said, how can you be eating Titus and you go to heaven? I'm a Yoruba man too now. We are better than South South too. Hey. We are better than South South too. Hey, Jesus. Awesome. Because you don't have mountain your own. All those Benin, no mountain. Benin Zapele, all those, no mountain. But you get to Idore Hills. When you pray on Idore Hills, your prayer, you are already closer to God. Therefore, as you just pray, bam! So you are praying downstairs. There's a church upstairs. This prayer will be answered for you. You're upstairs. It's clear mathematics. Amen. So, by the time, at this age, somebody is saying, Titus is from the queen of the coast or from the ocean. Titus! That's from the ocean. Ega, Titus. No, think about it. If Titus is produced from the
ocean. That means the one in. So why should we eat any fish at all? Think about it. This should be this one at least you see in can. So should you catch any fish at all in the water? How much money worth the fish itself? No, the fish. Oh, let me see all the fish that are just mummy water. Where's in Titus? For Christ's sake, what will I now be eating when I'm at work? You should have asked that, sir. So, mommy, what should we be eating? Even your weakness, they are smarter than that. They are ascorbic acid. Where did she learn that vitamin C has ascorbic acid? Is it in the Bible? She went to school. That means she refused to retain the biology, their knowledge. Eh? That means what they are learning in school, they didn't retain it. Just say, ascorbic. Ascorbic. Ascorbicos. Die! My spirit are here. Scoobus. What's the look at? Oh, scoobus. So ascorbics. I hope you're not writing that one down. I see writing. So, amen. You don't do that. At this age, you see me saying this, that. Like I told you years ago, I mean, some years ago, I thought they would end only at, no kind of jokes today. Genesis 21. I thought they would end only at skirt until a man say, yeah, you two are wearing tight and tight. Yes. Are you all stupid? What? What do you see to that point? How do you know he's wearing something under that skirt? How do you know? What is that? Why are you just after them? What should, okay, they should be naked. Is that one fine? Oh, okay. Galame. And by the time we go back to the culture of Middle East now, it is the ladies that wear trousers, men wear gown. Go and check Dubai now. That's normal culture. I don't know what women did to creation. The one I said, you know, is ascorbic. Is it a man or a woman? Huh? You are doing yourself too. It's okay. Back to the word, Jerry. Back to the word. Let's leave this. So Genesis 21 verse 9. And Sarah said, so we also see a caution against legalism from Genesis. That's actually what I'm saying, what I'm saying. From the book of Genesis, we also caution against legalism. Legalism. Scripture spoke more against legalism than against the devil. Jesus rebuked legalism like 50 times more than he rebuked the devil. So if there is any, once you have that mindset of performance, it will trip you off. You will look for the power of God. You will not see it. You will see yesterday, today. It will not work. Legalism. Every prophet spoke against it one way or the other. Every prophet. I can tell you that 90% of the theme of the epistles was just anti-legalism. Go and check everything. Very poor. Genesis 21 verse 9. But let me read 9. You read verse 10 for me. Please open, please. So it was from Genesis that Paul brought out that Galatians for him. We are going there too. Genesis 21 verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptians, which she had born unto Abraham mocking. Verse 10, want to go, guys? Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of his bondwoman shall not be here with my son, even with Isaac. So, when Paul will be interpreting this, Galatians 4, come on, be fast. Verse 21. Let's do this together. I read 21, you read 22, I will continue like that. Let's wait for those who are yet to be there. Come on, wait for one another. When you come together to eat, what should you do? Wait for one another. So which day is our love feast? Tuesday or Thursday? Don't bring Indomie here. Thank you. No Indomie. Don't waste your money. Don't waste your money too. But first, let's be fine. Amen. And once I can sample the food that is not up to date, I'll just continue from series 6, from part 6 to like past 12. The food we're going to give to Captain Atom. Amen. Praise God. So you must come with something tech. Amen. Yes, you must not waste your money. See? We're somewhere in between. No room for gluttony. Amen. Praise God. Any soil in the house? Everybody still soil. Don't forget. Why is it not this soil?
What is porridge? Porridge was only a tool of rebellion. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright? The thing was still that he sold his birthright. He despised that blessing coming from his father. So the point is just the handbag. The are you with me? At times, all of you that usually you have left about 6 ladies in your life, just say, I call you yesterday, you didn't pick it. It's over. That means something's already in your heart. Just look for one time, I called you here. And some people, do you know how they will call you? Once they call you once, you didn't pick the second one, it will be very short. So you can see 2 missed calls. Just. The first one will be longer. Second, third, fourth one will be just. Shut. Guys, I called you 4 times yesterday. It was only once. Others are flashing. Amen. Some people that divorce go up to toothpaste. Toothpaste. Brother, if you don't understand, toothpaste. Why don't you just use Paco? And you not fight over that one. And you go around. See, don't press it from the center. Press it from the tail. If you are spreading from the center, go back to the tail and realign it and push it up. Simple. Once you see anybody as a perfectionist, the way of them is like. Back to the world. Amen. No, Bryce, you need to leave. Let me finish this so you can leave. Okay, Galatians 4:21. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Hold on, Lord, there will be what? Read next verse so I can get the law. For it is written that what? Abraham had 2 sons. So the Lord there will mean what? I will punch you if you don't talk. Law in verse 21 will mean what? Scriptures, right? Is he talking about law of Moses? Thank you. So read verse 22 again, what, guys. For it is written, yes. Now Abraham had 2 sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. Verse 23. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was born by the promise. 24, guys, please help me. What is an allegory? What is an allegory? Come on. Symbolism, right? Okay, thank you. Yes, read. For these are the odds to convert. He has not said they are the one that invented the 2 covenants. He says it's an allegory. And we can compare this to the 2 covenants, okay? Yes, let's read. The one from Mount Sinai, which generated to bondage, which is what? Agar. Verse 25. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answered to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with our children. Talking about the physical Jerusalem, okay? See next verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is what above, that is in Christ. Are you with me? 25 is talking about the physical people in Jerusalem. 26 is talking about in Christ. We have seen others vision in Revelation chapter 12 that there's a beast coming and a woman coming and she has a son in Christ. What's put in Christ there?
don't know Revelation 12, just leave that. And there's war in heaven. And Michael and his angel fought against the dragon. And dragon, that the different scripture in those days. Yes, not in Christ. Amen. 27. For this it is written. Are you there? Okay, 26 said, but Jerusalem, which is above his works, is free, which is the mother of us all. That is just talking about in Christ. Don't say who is our mother in Christ. Which one is mother in Christ? It's an allegory. Okay? Thank you. 27. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest none, that is Isaiah again, and break forth and cry, thou that travel, that should be Isaiah 54, that travelest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. 28. Want to go? Let's read. Now we brethren, as Isaac, what is as? Simile, right? Figure of speech. As Isaac was, are the children of promise. It's not saying you are a children of Isaac. The same way Isaac was a child of promise to Abraham, so also you are a child of the promise of God in Christ. Are you with me, brethren? See 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh, is that talking about Islam? No, legalism. After the Ishmael is not Islam. Ishmael is a symbol of legalism, which we find both in Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, even atheists. You know? They are all legalists. That's Antichrist. Thank you. But as he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. The same thing that they are doing to Paul. Say even so it is now. That is the same thing. Remember when the Jews, God of the Lord, they are pursuing him, killing him up and down. See 20:30. Nevertheless, what says the scripture? Funny enough, that was said the scripture. Who was talking in Genesis? Sarah. Are you with me? It was Sarah that actually told Abraham to send her away. But what did the Bible say? What says the scripture? Cast out the what? Bond woman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Read 31. Want to go, guys? So then, brethren, we are not children of the bond, but of the free. So the lesson therein is just to learn liberty. The lesson there is not to put away your second wife. Because you don't have a second wife. But the lesson there is what? To learn liberty. Abraham, at the end of the day, didn't he? When Baba was 120 or plus, when he saw that Isaac walked, what did Baba do again? Someone nice. Huh. Amen. So the lesson there is not, you go to the north, you go out preaching that, and somebody has four wives, take away three, take one. How is that your gospel? So that story is thus to teach, to foreshadow legalism. Now, don't forget, scriptures are not in chapters and verses. I believe this chapter cannot have end there. See chapter 5 verse 1. Chapter 5 verse 1, come on. Stand therefore in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 2, behold, I Paul say unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify to every man that is circumcised, that is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are falling from grace. Verse 5, for we through the what spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Verse 6, 1 to go, guys. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision abet anything, nor circumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, one more lesson. Go to Genesis 14. Those scriptures are powerful, yeah? Huh? How do I say this? Think about it. That analysis in Hebrews 7. If there was no Levitical priesthood, think of this actually ought to be in our Jesus. Now, if there's no Levitical priesthood, will there be any need to analyze a priest after the order of Melchizedek? Therefore, who deleted the record of Melchizedek in Israel? I've answered the question. Thank you. Genesis 14. You get that? It's now Jesus series one. Okay. So tell you that this book of Genesis is serious, okay? I mean, it's serious. The same man.
Pass. Die again. Glory. Thank you.
Are you with me? Yeah, I was asking a question, right? So who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses. Who gave the Levitical priesthood? Moses. So, who planned the way to... No, he was not across the Levitical priesthood issue. Who planned the way out from the same Levitical priesthood? Same Moses now. Okay, Genesis 14, verse 18. Let's read. Hebrews 7 told that this man is without what? Father, without mother, without descent, right? Right? So, how did we know he has no father? It was not recorded where? In Genesis. Who wrote Genesis? Okay, so let's read Genesis, because God knew from Genesis, Moses will spoil things later in future. Let me quickly put something. It was, God. You know, these men, they are powerful men, though. Eh? That's why I'm going now, Jesus. Men are powerful. Why did Jesus have to die? Man. Not God. But what is in the resurrection? God, not man. Okay, that. Now delete. Jesus' name. Amen. Because life is the plan of God. God does not deal in death. I told you, he's not a death dealer. Okay, so chapter 14, verse 18. That is, check your volume level. This is different. From your live stream. Let's read 14, 18 together. Want to go, guys? Yes? You're the priest of the Most High God, yes? Of the Most High God. And he gave him a tithe of all. Amen. You forget everything. What you just speak there? Tithes. Took a tithe. Huh? I know he recorded this. So he gave him a tithe of all. No, it's like, let me say, his scriptures are awesome, man. And the written, and the guys that wrote it, they are awesome. Now, at the end of the day, it was a tight issue. That's the writer of Hebrews used to bring down the Levitical priesthood. You can read it again. Is it in this place? Okay, is it? Okay. Let's first go to Psalm 110. Psalm 110. So long after this scripture is already written, that we now add a Levitical priesthood. See the spirit of the scripture. Long after then, we now add Psalm 110 from verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy enemies your what? Your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Let me read to you, read verse 4 for me. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Verse 1, once you go, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Why that utterance? They were trying to sack the Levitical priesthood, which was not part of the plan. Remember in the last part, we said that their priesthood was inaugurated by what? With death. The day they were inaugurated, what happened? They killed 3,000 people. Not by the power of God, though, physically. So who is on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side, man. If you're on the Lord's side, go and kill your neighbor. So now come to Hebrews 7. So it was not God that made Melchizedek without father, without mother. It was the man in prophecy, utterance. The utterance. Utterance. Because at the end of the day, even Jesus is not really, he's not from Melchizedek, is not really, he's not related to Jesus in any way. Are you getting me? Melchizedek is a man. He is not related to Jesus in any way. Whether spiritually or physically. In fact, if you don't know Melchizedek, without affecting your salvation. Hello? Without affecting your salvation. I don't think so. Maybe it can affect for Jesus because he must know deep things. Okay, Hebrews chapter 7. I want to read just a few, but let's read almost everything from verse 1. I know you like that. Wait, let's not yet there. But I'm making it. Oh, glory to God. Let me know when you are there. Everybody, are you there? Okay, Larry is there. Larry is not everybody. Oh, you are for everybody, you are for nobody, you are for no. Okay, Hebrews 7 from verse 1. Once you go, guys. What is Melchizedek, king of Salem? Yes? Abraham? Yes? Whom gave the title of all? Yes? King of peace, yes? Without father, without mother, without descent, not beginning of this, or end of life. About a priest continually. Verse 4. Now consider how great this man is, unto whom the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of priesthood, have the commandments to take tithes of the people, according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they come out from the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithe from Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Verse 7, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, men that die receive tithe, but there he received them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. 9, and as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. See the checkmate. Next verse. Want to go? If therefore perfection was by the Levitical priesthood, what further need? Sorry, for that is, yes. People receive the law, yes. What further need was there for that priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron? Next verse. Teaching that is also made of necessity a change of the law. Next verse. Yes, next verse. Of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Yes. More evident. There arise another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of a stop. Moses saw the resurrection. He saw it. Glory to God. That is why he could do what he did. He saw a priesthood that will never die. Are you with me? He saw a priest. It's not clear like that of Abraham. Are you with me? But he saw a priesthood that will never die. Therefore, when he was writing about Melchizedek, he ensured that nothing as touching his descendant was written. So that he can be a prototype. I mean, I would say prototokos. I love that word. So that he can be a prototype of Christ. You get that?
So tithing was a tool to pull down the Levitical priesthood, not to sustain. Tithing was a tool to pull down the Levitical priesthood. Just see that. I know this guy, whoever wrote this book is just, I would say it's Paul, I would say it's Apollos, I would say it's a group of people. You know, a lot of people have talked about, you know, whoever wrote this had an influence of Paul, because Timothy was later discussed in chapter 13. You know, say it's Silas, I would say Barnabas, a lot. But this man is smart, like godly smart. Because if therefore perfection was by the Levitical priesthood, what further need that a priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron? Because see the analysis. This is Abraham. Abraham paid tithes. Are you with me? Well, Levites, what are they doing? They are receiving, right? That means whoever is receiving tithes is greater than whoever is what? Paying tithes. So Levite is receiving tithes from the people, meaning that they are greater than people, than the people. That means everybody is submissive to them. That means their priesthood is superior. But in our case, that these same Levites, they paid tithe to another. That means that another that they paid tithe to is what is not a new greater. And luckily, no, it's not luckily, in the spirit of prophecy, David now said that you are a priest forever after the order of what? Melchizedek. That means Jesus is not a priest after the order of Aaron. So when David said that utterance, you know, just, what are you saying? So it was in an attempt, in a plan to sack that same Levitical priesthood, that the documentation of Melchizedek was made like that. Melchizedek was a man. He has father. He has mother. In fact, he has children. He has wives. But his record was deliberately deleted so that he can be made like unto the Son of Man who was born after the power of what? An endless life. Because in Melchizedek, we have no record of when he died. But of course, he's dead. Look at that. That means when he died, it was not recorded. All you know was all you are given. Don't forget, scripture is strictly for what? Salvation. That means you don't go and look for, someone has, I know Jesus may have one historical book in the Bible, sorry, in his house, where it is written the other details of Melchizedek that is not in the Bible. That Bible is an antichrist. Because he has the she, the echo of the prophet. Are you with me? Praise God. So that means, in the spirit of prophecy, what did they do? They deleted, they covered all the history. So that, see, the priority is this Jesus. That's the point. That was the point the prophet was trying to prove. So, and in making Melchizedek a priest after the order of an everlasting life, that means Moses had a premonition that a priesthood is coming that will never die. Not this one. Aaron and his children, what happened to them? They keep dying. So, once your priest has died, what happens to your sin? Your sin is back, amen? Praise God. Because don't forget, I said it in series and part one or part two of our Jesus. I said, your defense against the accuser is the response of your priest. That means when Aaron offered that sacrifice, he will now come and say, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, right? The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, the Lord bless you and keep your house safe, everything. So that response will be the defense of man against the accuser. So if the accuser now asks you that, where is the man that gave you this response? Sorry, he's dead though. You're in trouble, right? Are you with me? Yeah, that's the point. So, but today, glory to God. Let's finish the Hebrews 7. That's awesome. Glory to God, glory to God. Wait, that's what? 17. Thank you. Let's read 17 again. For he testified thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling, abolishment of the commandments going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. 19. For the Lord made us nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw near unto God. Verse 20. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And there truly were many priests, because they were not allowed suffer to continue by the reason of death. But this man, because he continued following forever, had an unchangeable priesthood. That was why, glory to God, that was why Moses deleted the death record of Melchizedek. He didn't die, because Jesus will not die. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A man was made to foreshadow the resurrected Jesus. A man was made a picture of eternal life. Glory to God. The same way Enoch tried to foreshadow immortality for us. He walked with God and he was caught up alive. Are you with me? Although, of course, we also know that Enoch, he died. He died. But, same thing to Elijah. He shall simply carry him from one place and then he died there. Are you with me? Yeah, same thing Moses too. Yeah, in fact, Moses was a terrible one. They called buried him. Nobody knew where he died since today. So go and God buried him there. Okay, so finish this. So 24 that said, but this man, because he continued forever, he had an unchangeable word, priesthood. 25. Wherefore, based on this, he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. Why? See, he ever liveth. Glory to God. To make intercession for them. Ever liveth. That means, so see people now, you will not read Melchizedek. You will be focusing on tithing. Whereas that story was given to you so that you can sack legalism of your soul. The story was to the intent that everything the Levitical priests were doing, he disannulled. That was why it was written even before Exodus. See it, though. Let Abraham pay tithe. Now you say that is why you pay tithe. You left the essence. Took with. You remember when I caught inside the tooth of rope. Inside the tooth of rope, that should be part four. Remember the snake that this guy used, Moses used to heal them. Remember? The brazen serpent. What did she not do later? They started worshipping it. When he used it in those days, did it work? Is it okay? It's okay. But after that day, what has it become? Idol worship. Amen. That's the point. Okay, let's continue. Almost done. Almost done. Glory to God. So, go back to Genesis 20, verse 17. So, one more thing to see from Genesis, you can see how the Lord was sad. No, this should be the last question. Genesis 20:17. Also, we can see healings in the book of Genesis. Is there? Are you with me? We saw healings from the book of Genesis. Genesis 20, verse 17. So, Abraham prayed unto God, and God what? God healed Abimelech and his what? And his wife and his maid servants, and they bear what? Come on, you are not reading it like you love it. Come on, read 17. Again, want to go, guys? Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife, his maid servant, and they bear what? The bishop. Hallelujah. So what does it take for the barren to conceive? It's a simple prayer. It's a simple prayer of faith. Not fasting, not weeping. Say prayer of faith. See, learn to do this often. Eh? Learn to do it often. Even in your cell meetings, learn to do it often. Just lay hands. Hallelujah. We saw it in Genesis. Abraham, I didn't think Abraham knew as a brother, apoptosis, mitosis, dynamis, exousia, lambano, what is that? Those Greek words of Ephesians 1:19, kratos, exceedingly upabalu, lambano, come on, lambano it. He didn't do all that. Just knew a good God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I know a good God. I know a good God. Most of you, God is just good. Using someone is a problem. You're saying anything. You don't say, come next Sunday. Just bring your hand. Let's pray together. Glory to God. You don't look for special service for it. I believe that we edify ourselves to help people to be healed. Just be healed and go. Don't drop special service. Go be healed and go. You don't need for specialty. The healing is not to tie you down. You get that? It's not that, are you in my meeting? So are you not coming for Bible study? Which one is Bible study? Be healed and go! I mean, we healed you because we want to heal you. It's not because you know string attached. Thank you, no string attached. Look at you, whatever gentleman, you are looking for the lady with the minister to be special. Just like Lope Igbala is me, it's free. Banjo is, you know how much, no Boscoro. All those. But this one is now free. Come and take. Bang. Because I go to Alaba and I DVD that they are selling 200, 500 then. I go to Alaba International. 20 Naira, bang! Alaba International market. I just say, yeah, these are Nigerians, they can never say 20 Naira CD. No testing. Sailings are free. It's free. Okay? It's not that difficult. Don't take away fear and don't stop looking at the Greek word of barrenness or Greek word. The Greek, I can see the Greek word of this your eye condition is acrobatic. Don't start from that. Amen. Are you sick? Yeah, God can heal you now. Are you ready? Can we pray together? He's a good God. Say, He's a good God. Say, if Jesus can heal Marcus. Say, if Jesus can heal Marcus. Say, Marcus. Say, Marcus. Oh, you are a believer. He said, he cannot heal you. Believer. Marcus. Who is Marcus? He came to arrest Jesus. After he leave, he still arrested Jesus. We didn't hear that Abimelech became a man of God. Just healed him, amen. So with my hands, I communicate healings in the name of Jesus. Please, let me not. Individuals send testimonies to me, like tell me it's not scarce. So don't think because you don't come here sharing testimony. Ask Oga Akim, ask Pastor Ezekiel, ask plenty. Okay, they all send me stuff. So are you with me? So don't think that because we don't shout. It is free. You know that it's not free. Let me study. Amen. Can you lay hands and you understand the book of Job? Glory to God. Of course, in this place, too, don't worry, from the cookies too, we do it much more, okay? We do it much more for us to encourage the people who are feeble, to encourage the weak. But don't forget, your aunt carries in it, okay? So from the book of Genesis, we can also see that. Just put your hand on the sickness and command it to go. Oh, well, put your hand there, tell it to go. Don't say, I beg you, I beseech you. No. I beseech you at the mercy of the Lord. No. Just put your hand there, say go. Don't drink abuse. Yeah? Amen. My name is Cinderella. Your name is always something like all those. How many are you? Ah, we are plenty. I can't. Ah, I can't count us. Lots of Moses. Are you a legal captive? Therefore, it's your covenant with Shabbat. I saw another story of this not too long ago. Yes, of Celestia beating a lady with the broom. Pa, 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 for deliverance. Abba. See those three people beating one small girl. Like, girls like you, just that size. Pa, 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 with the broom. What do you do now? Jesus saw a man that has 2,000 demons. He said, go. 2,000. What did he say? Go. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I don't fret in the place of responsibility. So, now, the purpose of this series, understanding Genesis, this part, we want to look at the issue of heaven. So, while we are studying this series, series 3, is towards heaven. Where is heaven? When was it created? Who created it? Is heaven for God or for man? Amen? So, does God stay in heaven? When is heaven created? Is it for God or is it for man? Amen, amen. Can we locate it Can we locate it? No, it's a new planet that they have discovered. Say everything is white. People have been saying, don't worry, the sun is heaven. Amen. Can we say, heaven is actually this our, heaven can just be this our planet mass. It's just that our eyes are veiled. You cannot see the glory there. Hallelujah. So, this we are going to see. To do this, we have to study everywhere heaven was written in the Bible. I have to study over 524 of them. But we will try and summarize it, compress it, and just show you the relevant ones, okay? Or the ones that will be a bit confusing. So I give you 20 minutes to have a drink, relax, and in 20 minutes time, start this. Come back and let's start. Thank you.